You are listening to Sermon Snippets with Max Taylor, where we exposit God's Word and apply its instruction to our everyday lives. As we study God's Word, we are learning truth that corrects our thinking, meets our needs, and teaches us more about Christ. Here's your host, Max Taylor.
We're coming off of chapter 11, which began Daniel's final recorded vision, the final prophecy in this book of Daniel, and it wraps up in the first couple verses of chapter 12. If you think back to the past couple weeks, we've been going through this pretty extensive, pretty high altitude overview prophecy of future events for all the world, but specifically for the Jewish people, kind of God's way of telling them what was going to come. We start out by Persia, which is where they were right then, where Daniel was writing from. He described the upcoming rulers, how that was going to transition into Greece with Alexander the Great, and then that would be divided among his four generals. Eventually, two of them would become prominent, the king of the north and the king of the south, and how basically they would continue just waging war back and forth for several generations until it came to Antiochus Epiphanes. And he was a forerunner of the Antichrist. And that's kind of where his description turns. It kind of flows right from Antiochus Epiphanes, jumps a whole lot of time, which includes the church age, to the time called the tribulation, and describing the person of the Antichrist who would rise up to be the leader of mankind's rebellion against God in the last days, who would also fight against God's people, Israel. And that's where we kind of left off. That's where chapter 11 closes with his description. That's the last part there. And so chapter 12 picks up with that idea, gives a little bit more information, and just kind of a general synopsis of the time called the tribulation. So we're going to see that. And then he gives a very stark contrast between two different types of people, and that is the people who have eternal life and those who will suffer eternal judgment. And that's one of the greatest takeaways for our generation today. For the time that we are living in right now, we have to be discerning. We have to judge which outcome will be ours, because those are two very different futures for two different types of people. So let's start reading. We're just going to read chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 4. And this is going to close out this very in-depth prophecy. Okay, so this is how God closes it as Daniel is penning these words. It says, "And at that time," speaking of the time of the Antichrist, "shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And we'll stop there with verse 3. Verse 4 is kind of a transition. We'll go ahead and read verse 4. This is where he kind of closes it out. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So there we have it. That is the last prophecy in the book of Daniel. I mean, we started all the way back in chapter 2 with Nebuchadnezzar's vision. We had another vision by Nebuchadnezzar. There's been a lot of visions throughout this book. God sending messages to the Gentile leaders, to Nebuchadnezzar, to Belshazzar, to the Persians, and to Daniel, to God's people, to the Jews. And this is it. This is the last one. This is God's closing message to them about their future. And he starts out by saying, "At that time, Michael," who is one of the archangels, "will stand up." He's called the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And he's going to defend Israel. He's going to defend God's people. Notice the shift of history. God began working in mankind through the Jewish people, through the covenant he gave to Abraham, and then the Jewish people who were led down to Egypt, where they were preserved from famine. Then they were led back up to the promised land by Moses. And then, of course, there were times where they were disobedient. They were scattered. They were captured. And they were sent, such as Daniel. He was sent into captivity. But then they returned to their land. And then the most recent time was in 70 AD when the Romans came through. And this is mentioned in the book of Daniel. And they, again, conquered the Jewish people. They were scattered all throughout the world, which is referred to as the diaspora, the scattering of God's people. And now they have returned since 1947, 48. Around that time, they've been returning to their homeland where they have a state, where they have a sovereign state. And that's where we are today. They've been regathered to their homeland. And they are currently being attacked. They've always been attacked, but they're currently being attacked. But in this time, in the last days, there's going to come a time where all the nations of the earth, or a lot of the nations, come against Israel. And Michael the archangel is going to stand up and defend God's people. And it says there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even into that same time. So basically, in the history of the world, this will be off the charts of the level of violence that's been done, and it's going to be coming against, directed towards God's people. And so that's why God himself is going to fight for Israel. And you can see that human history has been shifting back towards Israel. The focus has been going back onto Israel. God obviously sent the Messiah through the Jewish people, and he's the Messiah of the world. That invitation has always been open to the entire world. But it's also clear that God wants to save his people, the Jewish people. He has a very special plan for them. So after the rapture, after the church age is over, God will again shift his focus back to Israel. And that is the point of the tribulation, is to be a focus on God's deliverance of the Jews, both physically and spiritually. And so we have Michael, the archangel, standing up, defending them. God is going to fight for them. It's going to be an incredible display. And we are getting a taste of that right now. I mean, just a few days ago, Iran launched a historic attack on Israel by sending drones and cruise missiles and ballistic missiles, which is the first time since 1991 in the Gulf War, when a country sent missiles against Israel. So very historic. It has broken a few records. It was like the largest drone attack against a nation in history, and the biggest display of ballistic missiles being intercepted in space in such a short period of time. So we're seeing historic events of biblical proportions right now, nations coming against Israel, and that's just a foreshadowing. See, the difference is going to be in the tribulation, because the Antichrist is going to promise false peace. There will be a disarming of Israel. Israel will not have weapons. They will be basically just believing the promise of peace given to them and assured to them by the Antichrist. And then that peace will fail because the Antichrist will set himself up as God. He will defile the temple. And the nations of the north, this is the war of Gog and Magog, so Russia and a group of other nations will come against Israel. They will be destroyed by God on the Golan Heights area around Mount Hermon, northern Galilee, mountainous region. They'll be destroyed before Israel, right there by God. Israel will, as a result of that, turn to God in faith. They will believe in Christ as their Messiah. They will finally accept their Savior after, you know, looking for so long and rejecting Christ, and after following these false hopes of another Messiah coming. All the while they miss their Messiah, but they will then turn to faith in Christ, and they will be delivered as a nation. Not everyone, but the majority of them will. And that's what this describes. It says, and at that time the people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, part of that is in the middle of the tribulation with the war of Gog and Magog. And then, of course, at the end of the tribulation, the Antichrist continues his onslaught against Israel, and all nations are gathered together to fight in the Jezreel Valley, which is in the north, kind of between like Mount Carmel and the Jordan River and kind of the Sea of Galilee region in the north, and in Jerusalem, the Valley of the Kings. So there's going to be basically across the whole land of Israel, all the plains of Israel will be covered with nations coming against Israel to fight against God's people. And God will deliver them. That's the end of the tribulation. And it says, and everyone that shall be found written in the book, speaking of the Jewish people who have trusted in Christ, who have been converted to the Lord, it's going to be an amazing time and a very scary time, depending on which side of this battle you are on. And that's what we each need to think about. God's judgment that's coming. It's going to be surreal, and every person is going to be on one of two sides. There's not going to be any neutrality. There's not going to be any people who are just unaware of what's going on. You will either be living in faith, trusting Christ on God's side, or you will be in rebellion against God. And that's what he talks about next. It says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Speaking of the two different futures. Okay, so we're all going to awake. We're all going to stand before God, but there's two different possible outcomes. And one is eternal life, those who have trusted in Christ. And then the other is those who will suffer eternal judgment. And I'm reminded of what Daniel records back in chapter 5. This was when the vision of the handwriting on the wall at the very end of the Babylonian kingdom, and God pronounced his judgment on them. It says, but hast lifted up, this is Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? That's the problem, is that at this time in the tribulation, many people will be not glorifying God. They'll be rejecting and turning their back on God, shaking their fist at God. All the while, God is the one who provides them with the very breath that they breathe. And there's coming a time and a day when God is going to judge those who do not give him glory. And ultimately, every knee will bow to God, because as is the title of this study, God rules in the kingdoms of men. The Most High is ruling. God is in charge. So we need to wake up to the reality of what's coming and make sure we're on God's side before it's too late. We'll close up the book of Daniel next week. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Snippets. If this Bible study is a help to you, consider downloading the weekly episodes or sharing this podcast with a friend. Until next time, remember that God's Word is perfect, and it's everything you need to live for Him.